Good morning and welcome to the October 6, 2025 Rules Committee meeting. I am your chair, Supervisor Shimon Walton. I am joined by Vice Chair Supervisor Cheryl and President Mandelman. Our clerk today is Victor Young, and I would like to thank Jaime Echeverry from SFGov for making sure this meeting is broadcast for the public. Mr. Clerk, do we have any announcements?
Yes, public comment will be taken on each item on this agenda. When your item of interest comes up and public comment is closed, please line up to speak on your right. Alternatively, you may submit public comment in writing in either of the following ways. Email them to myself, the Rules Committee Clerk, at victor.young@sfgov.org. If you submit public comment via email, it will be included as part of the file. You may also send your written comments via U.S. mail to our office at City Hall, 1 Dr. Carlton B. Goodlett Place, Room 244, San Francisco, California, 94102. Please make sure to silence all cell phones and electronic devices. Documents to be included as part of the file should be submitted to the clerk. Items acted upon today are expected to appear on the Board of Supervisors' agenda of October 21st, 2025, unless otherwise stated. That completes my initial announcements.
Thank you so much. Would you please call item number one?
Item number one is a hearing to consider appointing one member, term ending April 27, 2027, to the Sunshine Ordinance Task Force.
Thank you. And we are going to be discussing seat four, and I believe Ankita Kumar is here in person. Ankita? Good morning. Good morning. If you want to tell us about yourself and why you want to continue to serve.
Just ran up the stairs.
take your time.
Hello. It's an honor and privilege to be back here and to talk about why I would like to seek reappointment to the task force. I've been on the task force for over a year and a half. I was appointed in more than a year, almost 2 years at this point. I was appointed in January 2024. When I started off, I realized very quickly how important this role is for the city and its people. I was part of the Education and Outreach Committee. I also attended the complaints meetings. And over the course of these 2 years, I have worked on a lot of cases and stood up for the people and contributed towards holding departments accountable for the Sunshine Ordinance. In fact, my work was praised by a lot of members of the public, especially because I believe I hold departments very much accountable to the Sunshine Ordinance. I have gone through the ordinance piece by piece, and I'm one of the few members who speaks up when it's extremely necessary to, and I'm very, very eager to share my opinions. I'm not scared to do that. And I feel there's a lot of work that I can do in terms of archival management. For example, we were at the EOTC meeting last month when I suggested that there are some great examples in departments where they're doing good work. So we should maintain an archive so that when, you know, the cases come up for certain departments, we can tell them, hey, you know, this department has done great work in terms of archival management, and this is an example of what we can do. So in terms of education and outreach, I have been contributing a lot to the city. And yeah, I just want to continue for another term. I believe there's more I can do. I'm, I think, the youngest member of the Sunshine Ordinance Task Force. And I just turned 33, actually, on Friday. And still the youngest, I'm guessing. So I think more young voices need to be on the Sunshine Task Force, and which is why I want to continue.
Thank you so much, and happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
I don't see any questions or comments from colleagues. So, Mr. Clerk, let's go to public comment.
Yes. Members of the public who wish to speak on this item should line up to speak at this time. Each speaker will be allowed 2 minutes. Are there any members of the public who would like to comment? There are no public speakers.
Thank you, seeing no speakers. Public comment is now closed. And I'd like to make a motion to move this applicant forward with recommendation to the full board.
Yes, this is a recommendation to appoint to seat four. On that motion, Vice Chair Cheryl.
Aye.
Cheryl, aye. Member Mandelman. Mandelman, aye. Chair Walton.
Aye.
Walton, aye. That motion passes without objection.
Thank you. Motion carries. Congratulations. Mr. Clerk, please call item number two.
Item number two is to hear and consider appointing two members, terms expiring November 21st, 2026, to the Citizens General Obligation Bond Oversight Committee.
Thank you so much, and I believe both candidates are here, so I'm going to call them up to give us about 2 minutes about why they want to serve, and I'll do it in order of what I see on the agenda. Benjamin Tingle.
Good morning, supervisors. Thank you for your opportunity to be here today. My name is Ben Tingle. I'm honored to speak with you about the possibility of serving on this committee. My career began in Washington, D.C., where I worked in the federal government as a congressional and budget analyst, and later in foreign policy roles focused on the intersection of economics and security with degrees in finance and public policy. Over time, I became more interested in how government operates, how we manage resources, measure results, and deliver better service. That interest led me into management consulting, where for most of the past decade, I've helped public and private organizations improve their strategy, financial management, operations. Some of the projects I've worked on have involved bond-funded and fixed-income programs, giving me experience with the full life cycle of bond financing that I think are relevant for this committee. And I've seen how strong fiscal management and transparent reporting build public trust, especially in municipalities. In preparing for this opportunity, I've attended committee meetings, spoken with current members for a better understanding of its work, and those conversations have reinforced to me how vital this oversight function is and how my background can help support it. I think fiscal stewardship feels especially important for the city right now due to budget constraints and the changing federal conditions and rising expectations for transparency. Beyond my professional background, I'm active in civic life here in San Francisco through the Alice Toklas Club, my DuBose Triangle Association, and neighborhood cleanups. And since sounds like time is short, I'll say in summary, I feel like I bring a blend of financial and management experience and a practical understanding of this mission, as well as a commitment to the city. And I would be honored to help ensure SF's bond dollars are managed transparently, efficiently, and in accordance with voter intent. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. President Mendelman.
Thank you, Chair Walton. I am delighted to see my constituent, Ben Tingle, appointing for this. I think I first got to know him during the Lurie transition as he was helping out with that. And he's been active in DuBose Triangle and in the Castro more broadly. And I just want to say nice things about Ben Tingle, and I'm glad to see that you found something that you thought would be interesting for you to try out.
Thank you, President Mendelman. Mr. Clerk, let's go to public. Oh, my apologies. And we also have Min Chang for seat three. Please come and tell us about yourself and why you want to serve.
Good morning, supervisors, President and Chair. It's nice to see all of you this morning. So my day job is I oversee and lead a healthcare organization here in San Francisco. We're over $50 million in revenues. I have a staff of over 500 folks, and we serve the most vulnerable here in the city. And so it's both older adults as well as adults with disabilities. We do that through direct care and caregiving. Our business is not only personal care, but we also do wraparound care. So we do supportive services, case management, care management for, again, the most vulnerable here in the city. We have over 1,200 clients currently in San Francisco. In addition, a large part of our work is actually workforce development. We train not only our own caregivers, but we also work very closely with the public authority, and we're part of the IHSS program here in San Francisco. We are, since April of this year, been very embedded with the mayor's office and the agencies here in terms of solving homelessness. It's a big task, but we'd like to believe that we're making a small dent in that. We're serving our clients in interim housing, so shelters, also in PSH, permanent supportive housing, affordable housing, et cetera. And so we're working very closely with the mayor's offices in that work. In addition to San Francisco, we are very excited to expand. We are actually currently now in Los Angeles, and we're looking to expand into Alameda as well. So even in this very difficult, challenging environment, we're actually growing as an organization, so I'm super proud of what we've been able to do here. In terms of my background, I've been working for a very long time. I've actually been working for over 37 years. I've worked all over the world, lived all over the world, worked for many, many large companies. And finance has always been an extremely important part of how I foresee running companies and being part of companies. My background actually from undergrad is finance. I started as a financial analyst. I know every aspect of finance in terms of treasury, FP&A, purchasing, every aspect, cash management. And then last thing is I'm currently serving on SFUSD's bond committee, so I'm very passionate in terms of our public schools, and I do know what a bond committee does. I'm very familiar with the roles and responsibilities, what it means to actually give oversight and really understand the bond program. So we as an organization serve the city. I, as a person, serve the city. I'm super excited to be given this opportunity to hopefully be on the committee. Thank you.
Thank you so much, and thank you to both candidates. And seeing no questions or comments from colleagues, Mr. Clerk, would you please call for public comment?
Yes, members of the public who wish to speak on this item should line up to speak at this time. Each speaker will be allowed 2 minutes. Are there any members of the public who would like to comment on this matter? There are no speakers.
Thank you. Seeing no speakers, public comment is now closed. And once again, we are faced with the challenge of making an appointment when we have candidates who are definitely qualified to do the job and to be in this role. And so I want to thank both of you. We obviously only have the option to choose one of you for seat 3, but appreciate you both for wanting to serve. And like I always tell anyone, if for some reason you're not selected today, please continue to try to find ways to serve this city. We definitely appreciate your work, and it is important. But sometimes we have to make a decision between candidates who are qualified. President Mandelman.
Thank you, Chair Walton. I agree with those sentiments. That being said, I'd like to move that we forward Benjamin Tingle to the full board with positive recommendation.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. Clerk, on that motion?
Yes, on the motion for nomination of Benjamin Tingle to seat 3, Vice Chair Sherrill. Sherrill, aye. Member Mandelman?
Aye.
Mandelman, aye. Chair Walton?
Aye.
Walton, aye. That motion passes without objection.
Thank you. Motion carries. Congratulations. Mr. Clerk, please call item number 3.
Item number 3 is a hearing to consider appointing 3 members, terms ending July 1st, 2026, and 1 member term ending July 1st, 2027, to the Children's, Youth, and Their Families Oversight and Advisory Committee.
Thank you so much, and I know we have 4 open seats, but this is today for seats 9 and 11, and I believe Mr. Torrey has withdrawn his name.
That is correct.
Thank you, but we do have Jennifer Hand here in person, I believe.
Thank you, Chair Walton, President Mandelman, and Supervisor Sherrill for hearing my application for the DCYF OIC committee seat for a parent of a 0 to 5-year-old in city subsidized services. I'm sure you recognize me because for the last 8 years, I've been a dedicated public servant at the Office of Economic and Workforce Development, where I work to design, evaluate, and fund our public workforce system. And I usually come before you in that capacity, but today, I took the day off for conflict of interest. Today, I stand in front of you as a toddler mom and a parent to a sick kiddo. Shortly after my child was born, we found out that she had a rare, complex medical condition that would cause her to manage significant disability for the entirety of her life. But because we live in San Francisco, my child has had access to the most incredible private pay and publicly subsidized medical teams, behaviorist social services, and school-based care that she is entitled to due to her disability. In order to advocate for my child's needs, I also currently sit on the UCSF Parent Advisory Board and the San Francisco Interagency Collaborative for Children with Complex Medical Needs Working Group. I've also raised money for medical research into her rare condition, and we participate in research studies to support that as well. As a professional social worker, I am at a unique advantage to support my child in accessing these services and coordinating her care across a minimum of 18 unique providers, 2 medical systems, a school system, private and public insurance, and state and local social service benefits. I'm also aware that my unique background in designing social service systems and my positionality afford me enormous privilege to navigate systems and be fearless in advocating for my child's needs. While other families managing disabilities, especially families with parents who speak non-English languages, who work multiple jobs, who have mixed immigration status, who have a single caretaker, who are Black, Brown, or Indigenous, all of whom participate in the working groups that I'm in outside of the city, may not be afforded the same deference. So I aim to uplift all families in this role. It would be an honor to sit on the DCYF OAC to represent my child in the interests of children 0 to 5 and families with disabilities and support designing inclusive social service systems. Thank you for hearing my application today.
Thank you so much. Seeing no questions or comments from colleagues, Mr. Clerk, would you please call for public comment on this item?
Yes, members of the public who wish to speak on this item should line up to speak at this time. Each speaker will be allowed 2 minutes. Are there any members of the public who would like to comment on this matter? I do not see any speakers for this matter.
Thank you. Seeing no speakers, public comment is now closed. President Mendelman.
Thank you, Chair Walton. I've had the opportunity to see Ms. Hand's work, and I'm a big fan, and I'm excited to support her for this seat.
Thank you so much. I will second that opinion and move that we move forward Jennifer Hand for seat 9 with recommendation to the full board.
Yes, on the motion to recommend Jennifer Hand to seat 9, Vice Chair Sherrill.
Aye.
Sherrill, aye. Member Mandelman.
Aye.
Mandelman, aye. Chair Walton.
Aye.
Walton, aye. That motion passes without objection.
Thank you. Motion carries. Congratulations and thank you. Mr. Clerk, please call item number 4.
Item number 4 is a resolution accepting annual surveillance report under Administrative Code Section 19B.6 for the San Francisco Municipal Transportation Agency.
Thank you so much. And I know we have a representative from SFMTA who is here with us this morning. Good morning and thank you.
Sorry about that. I am Nabil Arnaout. I'm here with the MTA, and I'm presenting our surveillance report for this year. Previously, you would have heard this from the Committee on Information Technology. There have been some changes to the program last year, so you will now be hearing from agencies individually. So a little bit of context. We're here because of 19B, where we need to get policies approved by the board whenever we adopt a surveillance technology. We have had some changes in the last year where we now do reports biannually, with one exception, which is whenever we have new policies adopted, we need to report on them that first year. So that is what I'm here for today. This is an off-cycle year. We would not usually be reporting on all of our technologies, but we are reporting on the two that were adopted this year. So the first one is driver safety video analytics, which has been around for a while. We basically capture data on specific events, and we use that to determine whether there are any problems that we can fix with maintenance or training, or whether any operators have been doing unusually well so that we can give commendations. The other policy we adopted last year was for a new program, automated speed enforcement. So this is those 33 intersections which have cameras to detect speeding. And that one, we have been doing warning notices since March, and we began with official citations in August. So the driver safety video analytics report is very straightforward this year. We do not have any complaints, violations, or changes requested. Automatic speed enforcement is slightly more complicated. The most important change that we would like to make is we'd like to start using light duty personnel to work on this program to process events. So light duty means people who have temporary medical restrictions, so they're not able to do their usual job, but they can still work for the city. And those folks are offered a variety of different work they could do, and one of the options is to do this work. We have added some additional data protection for people who are doing this work temporarily on light duty. So in addition to all the other usual security that we have, we also show only one event at a time. They basically see the minimum data they need to process that event. They process it, it goes away, and they get the next one. So there's no search functionality. There's no ability to see anything other than the event they are working on right now. We also have another change, which is adding some authorized job titles to view the data and analysis. Most of these are because of the reorg we had last year. We have a number of people who it's the same people, but their classification is slightly different. But we are also wanting to add the directors for the three different divisions. We haven't had any violations reported. However, we do have about 15 to 20 communications from the public every week. Mostly these are emails coming in from people who are a little bit confused about how the program works. So we expect this number to drop off as people become more familiar with the program. And then finally, the last thing I did want to mention, there was a typo on the annual report, and it therefore said that the city has been sued. We have not been sued. There was no lawsuit. What was intended to be said was that we have been using this program since March. So that is everything I have. I'd be delighted to answer any questions.
Thank you so much. I do have a couple of questions.
Sure.
I know we've seen evidence of folks slowing down due to the cameras. Have we seen decrease in accidents?
So actually, I have my expert for this program here, so I'm going to bring her up to answer that question.
Hi, I'm Shannon Hake. I oversee the Speed Safety Camera Program and other safety initiatives at SFMTA. We have seen a 72% decline in speeding vehicles. We haven't yet done an analysis of collisions because we receive that data quarterly from the police department. When we get our next batch of data, which should have just ended in September, once we get that, that will be our first full quarter in which speed cameras were up and operating, and we're very eager to do that analysis and start looking at the longer-term impacts of how these speed cameras are keeping our streets safer.
Thank you. Definitely would love to see that data when we have it. And then how do the personnel additions or changes affect the budget?
Please.
How do the personnel additions or personnel changes affect the budget?
I'm afraid I'm still not quite understanding.
Is it going to cost us MTA more money adding these positions?
That's actually part of the reason why to do this, because these are people who are still being paid in their usual role. It's just since they have medical restrictions that prevent them from using their medical role, they're actually given options of different work they could do for the city, and this is one of those options.
Got it. And I know you said there were... No, that was just a restriction. Okay, got it. Thank you so much. Seeing no other questions or comments, Mr. Clerk, please call for public comment on this item.
Yes. Before I read the statement, I was hoping that the department could provide a copy of the presentation to me when you get a chance. Thank you. Members of the public who wish to speak on this item shall line up to speak at this time. Each speaker will be allowed 2 minutes. Are there any members of the public who would like to speak on this matter? There are no speakers on this matter.
Thank you, seeing no speakers. Public comment is now closed on this item. I'd like to make a motion to move this item forward to the full board with recommendation.
Yes, on that motion. Vice Chair Sherrill.
Aye.
Sherrill, aye. Member Mandelman.
Aye.
Mandelman, aye. Chair Walton.
Aye.
Walton, aye. That motion passes without objection.
Thank you. Motion carries. Thank you so much. Mr. Clerk, please call item number 5.
Item number 5 is ordinance amending the administrative code to change the name of the Status of Women's Domestic Violence Program Fund to the Domestic Violence Shelter-Based Program Fund. Revised the purpose of the fund, established the Mayor's Office of Housing and Community Development or other agency designated by the Mayor as administrator of the fund with delegate duties, update the provisions regarding the fund to reflect state law changes related to fee collected by the county clerk for the fund, and eliminate the requirement to deposit certain fees collected by the county clerk into the same-sex domestic violence project within the fund.
Thank you. President Mandelman.
Thank you, Chair Walton. We have before us an ordinance to update the administrative code sections governing the domestic violence shelter-based program fund. As part of last year's budget process, it was anticipated that the gender-based violence grant portfolio would move from the Department on the Status of Women to the Mayor's Office of Housing and Community Development. That transition is now well underway. MoCD conducted a full procurement process in late 2024 and early 2025, and new grant agreements with community-based organizations began in early July of this year. Although that transition has happened, our administrative code still assigns oversight of the Domestic Violence Shelter-Based Program Fund to the Department on the Status of Women. This ordinance corrects that outdated reference and formally moves administration of the fund to MoCD, the department now charged with overseeing this work. We're also addressing two additional inconsistencies in the code. One relates to a change in state law in 2023 that requires that $23 from each marriage license fee be directed to support shelter-based domestic violence programs. Our county clerk has implemented that change, but our code still references the old amount, which was $8. Second, there's a provision in the code that directs a portion of fees from domestic partnership ceremonies to a fund supporting LGBTQ+ domestic violence programs. The trouble is that the clerk hasn't performed those ceremonies in more than a decade, so there's no fund. The county clerk has let us know that she plans to discontinue the service, and thus any source for the fund would no longer exist. So this ordinance brings the administrative code into alignment with state law, current city operations, and the city budget. And I think it's pretty straightforward. I do want to thank MoCD, the Department on the Status of Women, the County Clerk's Office, Jesse Minardi in the City Attorney's Office, Melanie Mathewson in my office for all of their work. And then I especially want to thank Beverly Upton and the Domestic Violence Consortium, who have been keeping close track of this, asking all the questions, making sure that we dot all our I's and cross all our T's and don't do anything dumb that we don't want to do. And I think that all the conversations that might need to have happened. And so I want to thank you for all of that. And I think that's what I got.
Thank you so much, President Mandelman. Mr. Clerk, would you please call for public comment on this item?
Yes, members of the public who wish to speak on this item should line up to speak at this time. You'll be allowed 2 minutes.
Good morning, supervisors. Beverly Upton, San Francisco Domestic Violence Consortium. I want to thank President Mandelman and his wonderful staff. We've been working on this for a long time for their work on this legislation. We're hoping to do a little bit more work. I have to say, you know, I'm bringing this always back to a much larger community of service providers that are working in all of our communities to keep us safe. And we would like to work with the committee just a little bit more to celebrate San Francisco's historic support of same-sex marriages and the domestic violence agencies that serve the LGBT communities. In the spirit of this legislation, was to include those working to end domestic violence in the LGBT community, and we hope that we can include and codify this spirit of recognizing the work being done to end partner violence, domestic violence in the LGBT community. So I think a little bit more work where we could honor the original spirit. We understand that we're not doing civil unions and we're not designating LGBT marriages separately, but I think we could discuss a way to include this vital community and these vital services. My only suggestion. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Are there any additional speakers on this matter?
Stay up here, Beverly.
Seeing no other speakers, public comment is now closed, and I believe President Mandelman would like to say something to our speaker.
Thank you, Chair Walton. It's more in the way of a question. So I hear what you're saying. I'm wondering if you're thinking that that's an amendment to this legislation or that it is future legislation that we might consider, or because I'm inclined to want to get this sort of moved along.
Sure.
And I'm not hearing that in what you said that it's something that would be an amendment to this, but I want to understand what you're asking for.
So I think we could go a couple of different ways on this. One would be, I think, to show the original spirit of the legislation by taking out the language that excludes the LGBT fund. So we leave room for LGBT services and same-sex marriages to be recognized in this legislation. So that would be one way to do it. I'm concerned that if we leave the language that leave the exclusionary language in, that going forward we might lose that original spirit.
And by exclusionary language, you mean dropping
this
fund?
Yes, the LGBT piece.
Although the tricky part of that fund has been apparently for a decade inert and unused, and it's hard to imagine. I mean, unless we're going to create a new source for that fund.
One strategy could be looking at the percentages of same-sex marriages, marriage licenses that are happening and the marriages that are happening in San Francisco, and reflecting that in the language of the legislation.
All right. Colleagues, I thought we were further along
I'm
on
so
this
sorry.
Than we are. I'm going to ask that this continue to the call of the chair.
Thank you so much.
All right.
And thank you.
Thank you so much. Extra thanks to Melanie. This is going to a much broader community, and of course, we all want to make sure that everyone's included. They worked hard to be included in the first version, and we do not want to exclude anybody, especially in these current times in this political atmosphere. So thank you for your patience and understanding.
Thank you. Mr. Clerk, on the motion to continue to the call of the chair.
Yes, on that motion. Vice Chair Sherrill.
Aye.
Sherrill, aye. Member Mandelman.
Aye.
Mandelman, aye. Chair Walton.
Aye.
Walton, aye. That motion passes without objection.
Thank you. Motion carries. Mr. Clerk, please call item number 6.
Item number 6 is an ordinance amending the administrative code to create the Union Street Entertainment Zone on Union Street between Golf and Steiner and on Fillmore Streets between Union and Greenwich, and affirming the Planning Department's determination of Environmental Quality Act.
Thank you, Supervisor Sherrill.
Thank you, Chair Walton. I just want to express my gratitude to President Mandelman for last week for entertaining some amendments, and to Chair Walton for bringing this back this week. The Union Street merchants are very excited about this and are very committed to ensuring that trash impacts and noise impacts on the community are absolutely mitigated. And with that, I'd like to move to send this to the full board with recommendation.
Thank you. And before we vote on that, Mr. Clerk, public comment on this item?
Yes. Are there any members of the public who would like to provide public comment on this matter? There does not appear to be any public commenters on this matter.
Thank you. Seeing no speakers, public comment is now closed. Mr. Clerk, on the motion.
Yes, on the motion to recommend this matter, Vice Chair Sherrill. Sherrill, aye. Member Mandelman.
Aye.
Mandelman, aye. Chair Walton.
Aye.
Walton, aye. That motion passes without objection.
Thank you. Motion carries. Mr. Clerk, do we have any other business before us this morning?
That completes today's agenda.
Thank you. We are adjourned.